Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. We hope you're all healthy and safe. A couple things before we start. My stand-up special, Keith Razor, Make It Happen, is now out. You could buy it everywhere. It's also on Spotify. You could buy it on iTunes for $10 on Mad Records. Did you listen to it, Alan Lee? Did you watch it?
I have listened to it, and I'm familiar with it, and I think it's very good.
Because last week you said it was terrible.
Let me play
the clip.
Okay, go ahead and play it right now so they can hear me say that, which I don't recall saying, but if you have...
It was terrible.
No, come on. I liked it, and I would have changed a few things. Like, the first three jokes, I would have rewritten those for you. But in the last three, and about four in the middle... need to be rewritten next time you do a special.
Okay. Well,
other than that, it was great.
There he goes from that's from my best friend who's starting to become my manager. Anyways, you could also book me on Cameo. I'm on Cameo.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
www.cameo.com/KeithReza, R-E-Z-A.
That's right.
You book me, I'll give you a shout out, no filter.
That's right.
I'll say whatever you want. If you want to ask your girlfriend out, I'll ask her out. If you want to break up with your girlfriend, I'll break up with your girlfriend.
Well, I think you're on your way.
Yeah. If you want me to tell your boss to F off, I will tell him that.
Sure. Okay.
You might get fired, but it'll be the best $15 you ever spent.
Oh, my God. You're unbelievable.
I'm also on Celebrity Voicemail, which is the same thing as Cameo, just slightly more expensive.
Oh, my.
And now, Alan, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, I might be doing a little traveling back to see my family in New York. And I don't know. Because, see, with this corona, though, which I think is going to be ending, so fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't – New York is, you know, that's the worst place. Yeah. It's the worst place in the entire country. It's there.
We should tell the folks to subscribe, rate, and review to the show. Our guest might be calling any minute, so we should introduce him in case he calls in right now. He's from Comedy Central's The Roast Battle. He has a couple movies that he's done called I Lived and The Bet. He's been on HBO's Crashing.
That's right.
He's done podcast interviews. He has his own podcast called Jeremiah Wonders.
That's right.
The great Jeremiah Watkins is going to be calling in.
And we are looking forward to it.
Yeah. So if when he calls in, we've already given him that sweet intro. You were saying about New York.
No. I may be going there during the summer, and I'm looking forward to it. But the corona, the thing there, it's
like bad out there.
Oh, it's terrible. And, you know, they have the curfews, and it's just, you know, we don't realize how lucky we are here to... you know, we came over, we didn't even, quite frankly, you don't have a mask on.
Neither do you.
No, that's right.
No longer a law to wear a mask.
I don't think you can do that in New York.
Oh, really? You have to have.
Oh, no, you got to have a mask.
The law in California is now, when you go out into essential places like hospitals and grocery stores and restaurants, you have to wear a mask. But to walk around, you do not have to wear a mask.
That's great. And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
But some bars
opened. I mean, I'm not wearing a mask right now. I feel guilty for it, but I think we should still wear a mask. Because it's not about protecting guys like you and me. It's about protecting random folks.
You know, they're opening bars in La Jolla, so that means the comedy clubs will be eventually opening much earlier than we thought.
I hope so.
And they're just going to have people, you know, like the original room where Jeremy works, you know. Jeremiah. I was thinking.
When I first met Jeremiah, I thought his name was Jeremy.
No, I was thinking of your other guests.
Hot?
No. More like, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that other Jeremy. Well, we're not always talking about that. That's
the other. I only know two Jeremy.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, Jeremy Piven?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
not Jeremy Piven. That's funny. That's funny as shit. That's how. Jeremy Piven.
You know what's weird about Jeremy Piven is the guy said he'll do the show, and then he just blows us off every time we ask him. He's like,
that was terrible.
After my set, bro, we'll talk, and then he disappears. Yeah. It's kind of like getting Dennis Rodman, man. He just
no, that's not well. That's Dennis.
Yeah.
Have you contacted Dennis Rodman? I mean,
I texted him once, but you know.
Well, who knows? Give it some time. How long ago was that?
It was a while ago. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's showbiz, man. You know, we've had people that popped in suddenly, and it took a while.
Yeah. Whoa. Hey, that girl's hot. She's outside. I don't know who that is. You just missed her.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hit my.
The part about being in the studio is when people like they wave through the windows. You know what I mean?
Oh, but that's how it is here. They're very friendly. This is LA radio. You know, LA talk radio and
radio
in Sherman Oaks, California.
Sherman Oaks.
And we have a great producer, Sam Hassan.
Is that his last name?
I think it's H-A-S-S-A-N.
Hey, Jeremiah, how are you, buddy?
Hello.
Hey.
Jeremiah Watkins, we just got done introducing you, man. How are you, man?
Fantastic. How are you, buddy?
Doing good. You know the great Alan Lee. He's the trusty sidekick on the show. Yeah, so
that's right.
He's just here to laugh at my jokes.
What's up, Alan?
How are you? Jeremiah, this is a good guy. Jeremiah, you see that? Yeah. How are you, Jeremiah? I know him. He's spoken to me at the Comedy Store more than once.
You've spoken to him at the Comedy Store more than once?
And he's a good guy. I've seen him. In the original room, he hosts. I always watched him hosting. I learned a lot.
Jeremiah, one of the things I really love about you is you donated to my stand-up special, so you will always have my love until the day I die.
Wow.
Oh, well, you know, try to help out when I can, buddy.
I was watching your cameos, man. I think you're the funniest guy on Cameo. Yeah, how long have you been on Cameo?
Oh, I guess I've been on it for a few months, but I've more recently started doing my characters and stuff like that on there because people kind of enjoy that rather than just getting like a general message from a random dude like myself. It's sometimes a little bit more fun, you know.
That'd be great.
Having it from a character that they may have seen me do or an impression or something like that.
Yeah. I actually just got on Cameo, and I don't know how to work it. How long did it take you to get the groove onto it? On it?
Not a deal.
I guess. It's rather user friendly though, so it's not too bad.
Oh. Are you with your wife right now?
I just walked by my wife. That's so funny that you heard that. I just walked by my wife, and she said that she was on a Zoom, and I tried to motion to her that I'm doing a podcast as well right now.
Oh, is your wife in the comedy industry too?
She's adjacent to it in the way that she's a nonprofit called Zip Zaps Up in Richmond, where she teaches kids in the autism spectrum improv to help with their social skills. She uses improv to help with social and mental development. And she, she has written a book called the Brain Playground that she put out recently that she co-wrote. And so I would say that she's kind of adjacent to the business. I ended up going in the route of telling dumb jokes on stage, and she's using it to change the world. So we chose our own path.
That's pretty adjacent.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds something nice. Like I would probably use, because I have Asperger's syndrome. So when I was very young, I was very non-social and stuff. So Zip Zop Zoom, I took improv classes and they played that game. So that really helped me.
Yeah, that she's seen a lot of growth, like with kids who are even nonverbal that she teaches, and she sees a lot of growth and development there, where they start making more eye contact, or even sometimes start speaking a little bit more to their parents or family members, or for friends. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. You know who else has autism is Josh Meyerowitz.
Oh, that's yeah, that's right.
He's part of the Wave,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you get?
My wife is actually she's good friends with Josh, and they'll go out to lunch occasionally together.
Oh, that's awesome. So how did you get involved in the Wave at the Comedy Store?
It was one of those things where before I was involved with it, it was literally a section of the room that was almost a parody of like a Def Jam kind of thing, where when comics would tell jokes, it was like led by Jamar Neighbors and company.
Mm-hmm.
They would just kind of run up on stage and be like, "Oh, you know." Def Jam parody in that way, and one night they were down a couple guys, and Jack Knight and Jamar Neighbors they asked me if I would fill in, and I was the white guy in the group, and it just kind of clicked and worked that night, and then it became and grew into something even bigger than the stuff that we originally were doing, where you know we started dressing up and doing little sketches and act outs and vignettes and stuff like that, and it just kind of organically grew into something a little bit bigger, so it's cool.
Nice.
Whenever I do the roast battle, I don't do it very much because I don't like it. You know, I don't like being mean to people and vice versa. But whenever I did it, you were there for the whole time. Like how?
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm the type of person where if I'm watching a show the whole time, I want to go up and do jokes. You know, how is that with your mindset? You know, committing to the Wave. You know what I mean?
Well, it's something that's like, you know, I'm used to doing improv and sketch. So you have to kind of change your mindset a little bit when you do a show like that. It's more about the ensemble and more about the show than rather you getting off your own jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, the Wave is just kind of, they're just kind of heightening the jokes mm-hmm. that other comedians are doing, whether it be good or bad, and it's just mm-hmm. kind of putting an exclamation point
mm-hmm.
and emphasizing it that way. So, yeah.
What was, before this scary COVID-19 virus, do you remember your last actual gig you did?
Yeah. My last gig, I headlined the Rec Room in Huntington Beach.
Oh. I co-booked that club.
What's that?
I said I co-booked that club with Kenny Weber and Hunter Hill. And
that's awesome, man. Yeah, I love Kenny. Kenny's been really good to me and Hunter as well. I've like headlined there a handful of times over the last couple of years. And, yeah, I love that club.
Yeah, it's very intimate and small. And I think that that's a perfect club. It's also in the middle of nowhere. Like, no one can find it.
True.
It's like by a mall that's...
It's great, yeah. Every time I've headlined shows there, they're super fun.
It's cool.
So that was your last
year
show.
Last gig. Yeah. Yeah, we had Joel Jimenez and William Montgomery with me, and my buddies Gage T. Arena, who helps me produce my podcast, Jeremiah Wonders. He opened as well as C.J. Landry, so it was a bunch of comics kind of on the bill, and then I closed it out with an hour, and it was... It was fun. It was really good. Like, there's a decent turnout, and it was kind of like we were joking about what was, you know, to potentially come, and then everything just shut down.
Yeah.
Right after that. I headlined on a Saturday, and everything was closed on...
Sunday, like the following...
Sunday or Monday.
Yeah. Now, when you performed that, like, obviously, because I remember my last set that I did, only because I haven't done stand-up in almost 3 months now. Did you feel that it was going to get this bad?
No, I don't think any of it. You know, I think it's one of those things where, as stand-up comedians, I think we kind of have a little bit of a teenager syndrome where we all kind of think that our profession is a little bit bulletproof. We're like, nothing's going to happen to stand-up. And then, you know, this stuff hit, and then it was one of the first things to actually go completely. I mean, barring, you know, there's comedians out there who are doing the Zoom shows and stuff like that, but as far as like the touring and all that stuff went away for months, and you know, it's slowly going to come back over time, but it's going to be a long time before it gets back to truly normal, where, you know, there's shows at comedy clubs that are completely sold out, and mm-hmm. we're back to feeling comfortable, and the audience feeling comfortable how it used to be. It's just going to be a little bit.
And like, I mean, how does that affect your mindset? Because for the past 2 or 3 years, you've been headlining, you know, clubs, getting, you know, 6 shows weekends compared to just one-nighters. You know what I mean? So that must really take a big cut out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a little daunting to kind of think of it that way. But I, you know, I've been trying to stay positive and just take this week to week, and trying to be creative in other ways, and think of other ways for long term to put out content. And I got some stuff in the works that'll hopefully be good avenues that I'm kind of think of in different ways for down the road. And yeah, it's all you can really do is you know, if you can't be creative in one way, think of other ways to be creative in a different medium. And that's kind of my mindset and during this quarantine time and moving forward.
How many sketches are you filming right now? Like, are you doing 1 a day, 2 a day?
Not so much like that. I've been writing a lot of music and stuff like that, and I'm always trying to think of new impressions to do and new original characters and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, and when I feel good about one, that's when I will film a sketch and do that kind of thing.
We had a character where we were talking about that Jeremiah knows, and that was a wrestler, Snake Evans. Remember, and he was at
Snake Evans.
Snake, is it? You help me out on this.
I think Alan has dementia. What's that disease where you forget stuff?
Dementia. He was our guest.
Jake the Snake.
I actually worked with someone whose name was Snake Evans, and I just jumped to my head. I had a coworker named Snake Evans. No, Jake the Snake.
For the folks at home, Jeremiah was in a movie called The Bet with Jake the Snake Roberts. What was that like?
dude, I mean,
little pause there.
It was awesome. It was, I mean, you know, in between takes, we did a scene where we were on a softball field, and I was playing catch with Jake the Snake in between takes, which is, you know, that's a really weird, random life experience that I have now. But he was super nice.
Wasn't he?
He didn't like my super short shorts that I was wearing for the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh man, that's some gay shit that you got on there. Why are you wearing shorts?
God, that's a great impression. Oh my God.
I interviewed him, and man, he wanted to hit me, man. Like, I was never scared for more of my life. If I was like, oh God. So Alan took over that interview.
What were you asking that was causing to rile him up so much?
The topic was his dad's relationship with his father.
So here's what happened. So his publicist messaged the producer of the show and said, whatever you do, don't talk about his dad. The publicist, the producer never told me that. Like, I swear to God, she never told me that. So I had great dad questions because I have daddy issues too. And oh my God, the second I mentioned that, I was literally scared of my life. Like, it was pretty bad, Jeremiah. Like, I don't know when I offend people with my Asperger's, but I knew for a fact I offended him because his face was really red, like, and his hand was in a knuckle, and I was like, holy fuck, I gotta get out of this room.
Oh, so it was in person, too. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like I wish it was a phoner, because then I could be like, oh, let me just accidentally hang up.
We were in the green room in that tiny little green room in the rec room.
So it was at the rec room, yeah.
Now you're there. You go. See, you had a little dementia there.
Jeremiah,
wow. Yeah, that's an intimate green room,
isn't it?
Have you ever accidentally offended somebody like that, where like you're just scared out of your life?
I've offended people, but not to the point where they want to necessarily hit me. I mean, I've had some weird heckler experiences and weird stand-up experiences where people have gotten a little bit physical.
Really?
Times now. There's one time I killed Tony where I was going back and forth with one guy, and he started pushing me on stage, and Big Jay Ogerson had to separate us. And security hopped on and escorted the guy out. And then there was another time where that dude was on mushrooms. So it was just like a weird, that was a very weird show.
Wow.
And then there was one time where a Green Beret, he nut tapped me when we were going back and forth. He started heckling out of nowhere, and he didn't like that I had kind of retorts for basically everything that he said that were kind of making him look kind of silly.
Right.
And he ended up nut tapping me real hard, and that was one of those things where obviously the security had to escort that guy out after he got physical with me. Wow. But yeah, I've had some weird times where people, I think their brain kind of shuts down because they feel like they don't have anything else to offer mentally to the challenge, so they go physical. You know what I mean? They're
right.
Like, oh, well, this guy stumped me on the mental route. Well, now I got to throw some hands.
Have you ever lost, like, a battle of wits with a heckler before?
Probably. It's more rare. I think that every once in a while, there's sometimes super negative people. There's one time in Chicago.
Ooh.
I was doing a show where this lady, sometimes you can't win with a heckler, and sometimes you just have to move on. Sometimes they're just a negative energy.
That's
and
true.
I didn't feel like going the route of a show where, like, I was almost closing and this lady was heckling, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, she's like, I'm like, what do you do for work? She's like, I heckle. And like those kind of people, you know, they're just trying to be a negative void in a show. And sometimes you just got to ignore them and move on. And, you know, you can't always shut down people like where it's like the heckler, you know, gets owned by a comedian. You know, people love those clips and stuff like that. But you can't always do that for the good of your show. Sometimes you got to dismiss it and move it along. So there's definitely been some times where some hecklers have, you know, spouted some crap at me where I'm like, okay, you got me. Let's move on, kind of thing. Like, it's almost not worth it to give them more attention.
I agree.
See, if someone would have said that to me, like, what do you do for work? I heckle. I would have been like, well, you're not getting any percentage of my paycheck this week.
Freaking boom. Oh, Keith Rezzo just owned that heckle.
I was waiting for that. But no, I don't know. But like, I'm just I don't know. But like, the thing that I notice is like, you gotta say the first thing that comes to your head, because if you wait too long, then it doesn't seem like it's real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So drugs. You were saying that someone almost hit you and they were on mushrooms. Have you ever experienced with drugs like mushrooms? Because they're usually very peaceful people, right?
Yeah, I guess he was drunk and he had he said he was taking mushrooms on stage. So it was probably more so the alcohol, but like, you never, I don't know. I don't know what kind of mixture that does, alcohol and and mushrooms. But he kept saying that he was on mushrooms. I was like, okay, all
right. He might have meant meth.
I mean, I'm completely sober. I don't drink and I don't do drugs. So no, I have not experimented with mushrooms myself.
Neither have I. I've just experienced with them on my pizza.
Hey.
Oh, being
Alan had a question for you about your Joe Rogan expression.
Oh, no, I thought that was hilarious. Because when he came out in the belly room there, and you entered, you know, and you're thinner with the tattoos, and they started, you know, talking about that, I thought it was an amazing impression because you captured him with your own physicality. And I thought it was great.
So what's your question?
Well, I just said that, you know, his physicality, you know, did he just, you know, the basic things where you follow the basic physicality of Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that he imposed his body in the same way, which is, I thought it was very good. You know, did he just do it that way? You know, just cue off of the physicality of Joe.
You want me to repeat?
Yeah, I mean, that impression, that impression for the listeners who don't know where that is from, it's from the 5-year anniversary of Kill Tony. We're in a sold-out Comedy Store main room. And, I did my impression of Joe Rogan for Joe Rogan that night. And I've known Joe a long time, and we have a good relationship. So I was still a little bit nervous to do the impression.
Oh, it's an amazing thing.
Of that going into it, because he's done my show a bunch over the years, Stand Up on the Spot, but you never know how people are going to react when you do an impression of them. And also, if the impression is even off in the slightest regard in a way that they don't like it, they can always call it out, which that call is a screeching halt. Like it, you know, easily they can be like, I don't do that, or they can play with it and lean into it. And luckily, he liked the impression enough where he went along with it, and it was definitely a fun career highlight. I've had a handful of those experiences where I get to do the impression for the person or for somebody who they personally know. Like I did my Jeff Foxworthy impression for Ron White, and that was like an amazing experience as well, because it just is a heightened scenario when the person is actually in the room.
Oh, that's gutsy. I mean, you know, you're right. They see it nuanced right in front of them.
Does that kind of scare you to a point as an artist if you're doing an impression like of that person, because you're like, oh my god, what if they don't like it and they think that I'm offending them besides joking? Like, how does your mindset work with that?
For me, it's a big risk, but it's also a big reward. So you kind of got to block that out while you're doing it and hope that you're doing it right and that you kind of did your research leading up to it. Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, it becomes a messy situation real quick.
I only could do two impressions, and, you know, one, I could do an impression of Norm MacDonald, but only because, like, I toured with him for, like, 7 years, so I know his mannerisms. And I could do an impression of Patrick Warburton, but only because he's my uncle. So I don't have that fear of offending them. You know what I mean?
What?
Yeah.
Your uncle is Patrick Warburton?
Yeah. The poison. The poison made
for Warburton, because I have a Patrick Warburton, and I'd love to hear yours. You being his nephew.
Okay, and then you guys do yours then.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
And then Alan will do his.
Sure.
So we'll have we'll have an impression. Okay. So the poison made for Cusco. Cusco's poison to kill Cusco. That poison got you covered.
Very good.
What do you got, Jeremiah?
Okay, Keith, here's my Patrick Warburton. It's great to be here on Wrestle Riffs today with you. Good to reconnect with my nephew. I haven't talked to you in a long time, so I figured I would call into the show and see how my old nephew's doing. I mean, he hasn't sent me what he wants for Christmas this year. I figured I could get him a new PlayStation.
That was excellent, man.
Very good.
What about you, Alan? What do you got?
Well, Keith, where's my golf club? You said you were going to caddy, and
Clearly, Alan doesn't know how to do
impressions. I don't know this man.
Listen, I just got to tell you, that's an atrocious me, okay?
Jeremiah, Pat does a golf. I don't know if you like golf, but he does a golf tournament every year for St. Jude's. And next year, if you want to go with me and, you know, hit a couple rounds, we could do it, man.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we could talk to Pat and Tommy Chung. That's always a pleasure. You have a Tommy Chung impression?
Tommy Chung is just more of just it's just kind of a generic, just more of a, I don't know, it's just kind of a stoner impression. Oh yeah, man. Oh, totally. Like, I don't know. I can work on it and make it better, but like it's just kind of like a generic, like, oh, sure thing, man. Oh yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
you here's a little inside secret about Tommy Chung is he secretly hates what's his sidekick's name? Cheech. Yeah, he hates Cheech. Hates him Cheech. With. Yeah, I know this because a couple years ago I was driving his golf court because he was the celebrity I had to protect, you know, when I volunteer for those things. And we drove right past Cheech, and Tommy Chong's like, just hit his fucking car. I was like, what the fuck? and he's just, yeah, exactly. The dogs were barking at me too. Is that your dog?
Tommy Chong. Dogs. He heard the name Cheech and you know, crazy.
Is that your dog?
No, it's not my dog. I'm walking around in the neighborhood. When you said that we're gonna do a phoner, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get out of the house. I'm not gonna pace around my house.
I appreciate the director.
Why not get some fresh air? You know.
Yeah. I appreciate the director just threw that at me. He's like, oh, we have a different, because I guess I didn't know that there's different studios, you know, so that was my bad. But I literally just found out, like, Zooming would have been more fun because then you could see my bad expressions of Alan Lee. So
all good. We're making it happen.
So you're from Kansas City too, and the Chiefs won, right? Are you excited for that?
Oh, dude, it was so cool. Like my mom was like crying with joy when it happened. Like, cause it wasn't just a big deal for, you know, any fan, you know, fans of the team. Obviously, it's just like a big deal for the city in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to make them feel like winners again. And it sounds silly, but it's one of those things where, you know, if you live in a city that has a sports team that is notorious for losing and choking during the playoffs, like the Chiefs were, like, for years and years, they had great teams, but they kept choking during the playoffs, and they weren't even making it anywhere close to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, everybody was super excited, and I watched it live, obviously, and I called home immediately, and everybody was just freaking out there. And, yeah, it's definitely very very exciting. And that's kind of hard to believe that was just earlier this year, because this year has been so tumultuous.
Yeah.
Like, just like that was like such an important thing, you know? And then now it's like, we don't even know when live sports are going to return. So it's just such a weird flip of the coin.
Yeah.
It being in the same year.
Well, they did say that football will return regardless. They announced that, and the commissioner said, like, even if there will be no fans, which I don't get, because how are you going to pay the players? Isn't the money from the fans, like, going to the games, paying the players?
Yeah. I mean, the advertising and all that stuff, like, they'll have to shift some funds around, I'm sure, because that's got to be a huge percentage of, you know, like with the stadium ticket sales and concessions and all that stuff. Like, you got to think that helps
be part of the payroll for these players, but who knows? Right. I'm not entirely sure how it works, to be honest.
So as a Chiefs fan, I got to ask you something. Do you like Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I mean, I'm going to be honest, dude. I'm a Chiefs fan to the extent of like I am a supporter 100%, and I have been for years of the Royals and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But dude, when you start talking shop with me, that's when I bow out and I let people know, like, hey man, I am a fan definitely to a point. And if you want to call me a fair weather fan, that is 100% fine. But I do not follow football on a weekly basis. So,
well, the big story about that was because Fitzpatrick plays for the Dolphins and he beat the Patriots like with 30 seconds left, and all the Chief fans sent him a whole bunch of steaks because they didn't want to play the Patriots. So,
oh,
in a way, he kind of won the Super Bowl for you guys.
Interesting. I had no idea.
Okay, that is an interesting fact that I definitely did not know about.
So next time, you know, I'll just be like, yeah, I love the guy. I sent him a steak.
Oh, yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick. Andy Reid and I are friends with that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. So, Jeremiah, I wanted to ask you a question because you were in a movie called I Lived, which was your first starring role. What was that like? Like to be,
yes, sir.
What was that like to be like a young comic and getting your first top billed movie? You know what I mean?
I mean, dude, it was an incredible experience. It was an indie movie that, you know, very few people saw. I'm really proud of the work that I did in the film. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's really important as a comic to not get ahead of yourself, or as an actor, any career position. Because, dude, I, you know, that came out around 2014, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was going to be like the thing, you know, that like took me to like another level.
Right.
And it ended up not being at all. Like, it's one of those things where I literally can use it for like real footage, and it's cool to have on my resume, but it's one of those things where it wasn't a career changer like I thought, you know, like you think certain things are going to be. But as far as like the work that was put into it, we filmed that entire movie in like 2.5 weeks, which is like insane. We were pulling like 12 to 14 hour days because it was a low budget film. And, you know, the director and the producers were calling favors to friends around LA for locations and different stuff like that. So mm-hmm. It made it feel like a little bit more of a high budget film, but it was one of those things where it's like a non-union film. And, you know, I'm just getting like kind of like a day rate every day. So it's one of those things where, it was basically how I look at it. It's like, it was almost like a film school or like an acting school, like packed in to that movie for me, because there was so much going on in such a short amount of time. It really challenged me as an actor and a performer, just down to just memorization of lines even, because I was having to do, we were doing like sometimes 5 to 7 pages of dialogue a day, and, wow. And I was in every scene in that movie, so it was an amazing experience for me to become better as a performer and really challenge myself and kind of where I'm at and know where to improve and where I, you know, want to be in the future.
Well, it's a shame that movie never really did anything, because I looked at the trailer and the premise. It had a great premise, and like the trailer, your acting was really good in it. Like, and I haven't seen the movie. I saw the trailer, but you could tell a lot about an actor's range sometimes from a trailer. I'm giving you a compliment.
It was on Hulu for a couple of years, which is cool because that's where a bunch of people saw it when it was released, like past the video on demand phase.
Mm-hmm.
So every once in a while, there'll be a show that I do, and somebody will be like, I loved I Lived. I'm like, you saw that movie? That's amazing. Like, I'm so stoked that they actually watched it, you know?
Yeah.
pretty cool.
Well, Alan, you got any final questions for Jeremiah?
No, I think the way he answered this last question about the compression of all that he learned in that those long days, very few people will ever admit to that the amount of work put in a project like that becomes just this compressed learning curve. And I thank him for saying that. I haven't heard that said very often.
I have a final question for you, Jeremiah. Alan, you studied improv from Second City, right?
Well, some people from there, yes.
No, not you, yep. Jeremiah.
Oh, I thought you were asking me the question.
this guy is delusional, I swear. What's that? Where you forget? You said it earlier. Dementia.
Yeah.
And so Jeremiah studied from Second City. You studied improv from the Ice House.
No, but the instructor was from Second City, trained there.
Okay, so Jeremiah, what's a quick improv game to see Alan's skills at improv, and like how would you rate him?
Oh yikes, man!
You're gonna make Jeremiah test me.
Exactly, because you just nailed that Patrick Warburton.
I put a lot of effort in that. I compressed that just like you know, Jeremiah did in the film, and I did a lot in those few seconds. It was hard.
Yes, if anything, my performance on I Lived is exactly as good as Alan's Patrick Warburton. That's the perfect analogy.
Thank you.
Well, Jeremiah,
what a ringing endorsement for my acting.
Hey, you said it. I actually thought you were brilliant in the trailer. But Jeremiah,
thank you.
I love you very much, and I know times are tough right now, not just for you, but for all artists with the COVID and the protesting and all that stuff. But I just want you to know, I hope you stay safe, and I hope you have a great day, pal.
Dittos.
You guys as well. Love you guys. Have a great day, and stay safe, and support the positive movements that are going on right now.
All right, let's do a show together when this is all over, man, and we'll get coffee.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
thank you, Jeremiah.
Have a good day, guys. All right, guys, that was Jeremiah Watkins. That was Jeremiah Watkins. You guys can follow him. You guys got to book him on Cameo. Like right now, I want all listeners to go to www.cameo.com/Jeremiah Watkins and book him. It's the funniest stuff.
It's amazing. And, you know, he has a podcast. You already mentioned
it. Oh, yeah, the Jeremiah Wonders. You guys got to subscribe, rate, and review on that, too. But I'm so impressed by Jeremiah's cameo. Like, I like the one where he's Professor Snape.
I thought they were wonderful. It was like Saturday Night Live. You know, it was just, it was amazing because I had not even paid any attention to Cameo.
Yeah.
And
I should have asked him, how do I get more Cameo requests? Because I just got on Cameo.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Two days ago.
Congratulations.
And I've only gotten one request, and I did it. And I don't think they were like proud because they didn't tip me.
Well, that's the part that I didn't understand. After they get you,
right,
they can offer to like tip you. Right.
It's like Uber.
It's a double like.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
It's a double like that. So, all right, guys. Well, if you guys like this episode, subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, all that jazz. Yeah, right?
Yes.
You're very big at that. You want people to like it.
Definitely. Please like it on YouTube, everywhere. And, I will say, even with this one today, every single comic gives, I don't know, this bit of knowledge, the inside stuff of comedy, I on this podcast and on others. But I still feel that they're so giving, and they drop these comedy secrets even. I said, what? What are you, you're telling
we
us that?
We should change the name to Comedy Secrets.
Well,
like, honestly.
You know, that
we might get more
that would be interesting,
because a lot of people not to shit on the Rifters, but a lot of people think this is a Persian podcast because of Reza, right?
Some people might
a lot of people. I don't know if you know this, but we're huge in Iran. huge. Like, I'm actually dead serious. And
no, I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that.
A lot of people, because of my last name,
yeah,
they think I'm Persian when I'm not.
So when they go to, like, YouTube, Reza, they like us.
Reza,
yeah,
for the listeners at home, I should probably explain this, but Reza is, one, it's my stepdad's name.
Yes, I know.
And my stepdad is Hispanic. So that is the Reza on my family tree. But it's not my fault everyone in Iran likes us or and subscribes, right? I didn't know it was an Iran.
Ah, I think it's a great thing that have happened. Nice, you know, a windfall.
It's a Hollywood secret.
But I thought you mentioned once, and you know, you tell me, because I may not remember this correctly, but...
Like, I'm not saying I'm huge like Maz Jabroni. What I'm saying...
R-E-Z-A. R-E-Z-A. You told somebody this.
Yeah. It's a Persian last name, but it's also a Hispanic.
It's also Hispanic, yeah.
I think a lot of Hispanics don't know that. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't think they do.
No, because whenever I get booked on Latino night, you know, or something, like at the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, "You're not Latino." I was like, "No, I am. Reza."
That's pretty cool.
And they're like, "Reza's Persian."
Cool. That's pretty cool.
And then
cool.
Like, I have to get into a fight with Rudy Murano about it or whatever, you know what I mean?
Oh, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy, Rudy.
Oh, that's
glad
the
he's glad he's playing football. That was a football joke movie. But no, like, that's the point. That's what I'm saying. So I think I'm not Persian. That's just what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's...
You're like Alan Lee. You're like Asian and Cuban.
Cuban, correct.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, my
so
father...
So you get it, too.
I get some of that. I get a lot of it, actually. Yeah. You know, sometimes people don't believe...
That you're Asian.
That's right. They say I'm completely Hispanic.
Right.
And...
I've actually been to parties with you. Where people are like, "You're not Asian, you're Hispanic."
That's right.
And then I'm
that's
always right. Like, "Hey, have you seen his driving?" That's what I say.
That's what you say. And then I say, "Well, have you seen Keith's driving?" And he's not Asian.
We're in trouble, America.
But you know, it is what it is. But you know, this is how we roll, man. You know, the names in this country are really, that alone is an amazing part of America. People's last names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Alan, it's time to go.
Well, you
anything you want to plug for the folks? You got any big gigs coming up?
No,
COVID-19.
You know, I have a lot of problems getting big gigs, and so with this, you know, Corona has not helped me at all. And even the tiny places I go, and you know, you're one of my fans. Like for example, Tribal Cafe. You know, it's a restaurant, and.
The waitress just loves you.
She does.
Because Alan says he goes out, he sits down, and he's like, "Hey, honey, want to hear a joke?"
I tip generously because I've been in the restaurant business, and I will say this: the bars in San Diego, La Jolla, they have opened up. People are, it's unbelievable. My friend lives there, and I said, "Are you sure?" They're sitting next to each other. People, and they're not even, no masks or nothing. I swear, it's unbelievable. Wow. So that means, we were talking about, I believe the clubs are going to open up much faster than they're saying.
I hope you're right. I believe the clubs will open, but it will be only to a capacity. Technically, I should probably promote this. I do have one show lined up at the Irvine Improv.
Yeah,
on Tuesday, July 21st. Tickets are at www.irvine.improv.com. They're $15. You could support me and come. However, with how things are going, I don't know if they'll reschedule the show or if they're just going to do... Because in Arizona, they're only putting 25% capacity at the clubs.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if... I mean, hopefully they do because I miss stand-up. But at the same time...
When they sell the tickets, and they know that night, 25% of the room, those people are going to show up because they bought the tickets.
Exactly. Well, say, this is just for Arizona. I don't know about what California is doing. Because I just know this because I was offered an Arizona gig.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But say, hypothetically, right, the club fits 500 people. And they say, we're only going to sell 25% tickets for social distancing rules to the state. So that would be, what,
125?
100 people, 100 tickets.
And 25.
Okay. I said 25%? Okay, so yeah, 125 would be off. You're right. So 125 tickets, right? It's still a good show.
Yeah.
But it'll still feel light compared to a 500 show.
Yeah, and that's a room that holds 500. So yeah. You imagine anything lower than that.
Like take the Rec Room, for example. Mm-hmm. If we come back instead, because we only have 150 seats, you know, we'll probably go to 60.
Yeah, yeah. And
For any comic, though, you'll still kill at the Rec Room for 60 people because it's one of those rooms that fills.
That's right.
But at the same time, we all want to make more people laugh.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. Well, Irvine Improv Tuesday, July 21st. If the show is going on, come out, support it.
And they can find that on Razor Riffs, and they can find it on Facebook, and they can find you.
Yeah, I'll
they
start.
They can get that information.
Yeah, I'll start promoting it. When I know it's for sure, it's all in the state, you know? That's what I'm saying. I'm just waiting for Governor Newsom to say comedy can come back.
And who knows? Who knows? You might have a guest with Mr. Evans. I mean, our wrestler friend there would come in and make a cameo.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You'd be like, I'm here to punch Keith.
But because he performed there. He might think back on it as a nice night. Never know.
I'm scared of that man, like 100%.
Well, I'll tell you, when I looked up his career and I saw him, you had good reason to be. Many wrestlers were terrified of him.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's listening, I still love you. Oh, don't get me wrong. And biggest fan.
Absolutely.
Love you to death.
And I do love him.
Just I don't want to get killed. That's all.
Because you followed wrestling at one time.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Hulk Hogan, Jake Roberts, my favorites. All right, guys, we got to head out.
All
Subscribe, rate, and review. Follow Jeremiah Watkins and his podcast, Watkins Wonders. Book him on Cameo. Do it now. I promise you, it'll be the funniest thing you've ever had. And then while you're at it, book me at Cameo. www.cameo.com/KeithReza. Book me. I'm also on Celebrity Voicemail. www.celebrityvoicemail.com/KeithReza. Book me. I'll say whatever you want, give you a shout-out, subscribe, rate, and review, buy my special.
I would do that.
Exactly, Alan. I love you, pal.
Dittos.
Dittos. Peace.
Yeah.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.